your praise once more time. Thank you for your ever abiding presence. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you in order to worship at the throne. Thank you for your word that comes to us. Indeed, you will profit us. You will not remain the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. All the glory must be to the Lord.
For he is worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the
glory must be.
up your hands and worship. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him all the praise, give him all the glory. Everybody worshiping him. Everyone worshiping him. Worship the King of Kings. We give you all the glory. So when I return the captivity of Zion, we'll be like them in that dream. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship.
They ask me, say,
yeah. Now waiting, they make me shine.
I know they tell them, say, now Jesus, they make me shine. People, they ask me, say, now waiting, they make me shine. I know they tell them, say,
surprise you.
And it will surprise you one
brought back the captivity of Zion. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Hallelujah. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and worship him. Because indeed, the nations do not need any other sign except the sign of our present time. Hallelujah. That the Lord indeed has done great things for us is a testimony of the nations concerning us. Hallelujah. He says, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Thank him, give him all the praise. If the nations can see that the Lord is doing great things for us, how much more we that the Lord is doing things for? And that's why I say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Father, we thank you, we give you praise. Because we are not without sense, hallelujah. But we understand the things that you are doing with us, amen. And thank you for everything that you have blessed us with. We count them, we recall all of them, and we return all the glory to you. Let your name be exalted, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
May be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. You are welcome to church. You have gone to quiet time again. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalm 103 and verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Hallelujah. Amen. So the question will be, what can you recollect? What can you recall when you sit down and meditate? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible talks about the fact that we need to observe, we need to meditate in God's word day and night so that we may observe to do according to what that is written in there. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night. Hallelujah. So what is meditation? Meditation is not a flash. Just flash and say, no, that's not meditation. Meditation is a very, how do I say, deep result by you to think clearly and then to also interrogate in your mind and find answers. Hallelujah. Amen. It says you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. Sorry, I think there's something that I've missed. And so it's important that when you look at Psalm 103 verse 2, that says, forget not all of his benefits that you are able to recall. Hallelujah. When we read the scriptures, some say they are stories, and it's fine if they are stories. Hallelujah. Stories, when they are told, there are lessons that you should learn from it. Amen. You know, when we were growing up, the stories we were told were stories of tortoise. Abi, I don't know if you ever had that opportunity. We would go outside in the night around 7 p.m. There's a charcoal box that is burning, firewood is burning. We all sit around it, okay? And then we tell tales by moonlight. Hallelujah. Every evening, 7 p.m. That was around 1978. Just sit down, and then they will tell you no stories, to tell us the tortoise and everything. And do you know what? Those stories, I still tell them today. I still told somebody yesterday. I said, do you remember the story? The story of the tortoise and the monkey. Because I said, well, go and read it so that you can prepare your mind for what is coming your way. So that's what I told him. And immediately I told him, he could relate. He said, why are you telling me to do that? I said, well, that's what is going to happen. So he's not being wicked. Just go and relate, okay? So that I don't give you squabbles this morning. That's why I won't tell you the story. But I'm saying that when you have those stories, when you recall those stories, it strikes a chord within you, okay? And we need to learn to count our blessings. Hallelujah. Not because God is not doing a new thing, but because he gives us that confidence, okay, to move ahead. Hallelujah. It gives us that confidence to take the next step, even when everything looks like nothing is happening. Hallelujah. Amen. He gives us that confidence. Look, when David was going to face Goliath in 1 Samuel, chapter 17. First Samuel 17 and verse 34. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies. No, verse 34. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. He said, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. He says, it's interesting, you know. So he was trying to convince Saul that he's going to go and he's going to come back victorious. And what did he do? He went down memory lane. So often and more often times, where the problem comes from is that we think that the things we achieve, or we assume that the things we achieve them based on our own capacity, capability, skill, and understanding. Amen. So if you go back to verse 35, see, it says, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, it says, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Amen. It's amazing that a boy will hold lion by the beard and strike it. It's not an ordinary thing. You see, when we talk about some people come down and say it must have been hormones. Must have adrenaline on the inside of him. But if you've seen a lion before, let us even take the malnourished ones, the ones that are not, the ones in the zoo that have not eaten. When you see them, the fear, their sight alone creates enough fear for it to paralyze your whole system. For you to paralyze your own, just stand. You won't be able to do anything. I'll be like, what am I going to do? And then some people will not go. They will go to East Africa. They say they're in the, what do you call it, safari. You know it. Then they'll be driving in the safari. Then suddenly a lion will appear. Everybody freezes. The people in the safari will tell you that you must stay within the, inside the whatever, because anything and anything can happen. See, the animals, when they fight, they have a way of fighting that you cannot tell. It will look reckless to you and I that the lion just swung his paws. But no, that's the way it's designed to fight. It's because you don't know how it fights. You understand? For instance, when you see a snake, I think it's a cobra. If you are taller than it, it's trouble. You understand? So you strike. So you have to go, you have to maintain your height lower than. So when it rises, if you are taller than it, it will bring you down. So if you want to escape, it's not striking you. You bend low. But please don't go and try it. Amen. So there was this time when I was in school, and there was this guy. You know the shoe they call Stingray? You don't know it? Don't worry. Anyway, there's this fish that you call Stingray. Okay? It stays on the floor of the ocean. And there was this Australian. He was the only one in the whole world that dares to go down into the ocean and play with them. Nobody dares play with them. They are called Stingray. They sting. And you have to study and to know at what point in time that they will strike. But you know the irony of life? It was the stingrays that killed him. I mean, he will go down, play with them, come back, and then everybody, oh, this guy understands stingray, blah, blah, blah. And when he will be stung, it was the stingray that killed him. So it wasn't about the fact that he knows how to do it, or it's one fact that he's used to them. Okay? There is that God factor that everybody just seems to always forget when we do things continually and it happens for us. Amen. When you do things continually and it happens, you always forget. So every morning you come, you think it's your right, you come, you power everything and everything is on. One day you come, when you power, it didn't come on, then you start running around. Like when we came this morning, what is happening? We started the generator was not starting. We started, what's happening? It looked like it was a right. That once there is water, there is oil, there is battery, you just go there and you start and it must happen. David was collecting and saying, look. And he said, look, all these things that I've been able to do. He says, this Philistine will not be different because he has defiled the armies of the living God. Meaning that he understood the fact that he enjoys certain benefits from God that no other person or tribe can enjoy. Amen. And until we know when we were reading, what were you reading this morning? Is it Romans 8? They were reading this morning. Until we begin to read these things and let them stay with us, we may not be seeing what we ought to see. He talked about the fact that there is, go to Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Hallelujah. But you know that if the sons of God cannot relate with the fact that they are loaded, that they carry the very essence of God on inside of them, there cannot be any revelation. Amen. There's nothing you will bring to the people because you don't even know that you are carrying it. Hallelujah. You don't even know that there has to be a manifestation. Amen. And one thing that always, always strikes me is that it will be out of place if I am somewhere and there's no difference between me and the people that are there. Hallelujah.
I'm not bothered if they are all, we are all Christians. Amen. Because everybody has his own race. But as long as I'm there, I have to be different. Amen. Because there's something unique about me that God wants to use at that point, and that's why he has put me there. Hallelujah. In the craft that I do, okay? The craft I do, they come and say, come, every time we come to you, we get solution. And I smile. Because every time they come to me, it's not every time they have a solution. I will sit down and be thinking, thinking. After a while, I say, God, you know that it's not me that is thinking. It's you that I'm waiting for. You understand what I'm saying? You are waiting for. So which one, where should I turn to, left or to right, or which one? So that I can give these people an answer and they let me go. And then he shows up. Then one day, somebody somewhere went to Facebook and they saw me with the microphone and then came back and said, no wonder we get answers when we come to you. And it's not about us preaching. It's about the fact that we have been joined to Christ, hallelujah, and we are no longer the same. We are a new creation. So if you cannot recollect what God is doing or what God has done, because you have to first of all lay your hands on the fact that this is God that has done this. Amen. It's not every situation that we will be very maybe as difficult, or let me say, like when Grandpa gave us his testimony. It's not everybody that will have that kind of testimony. It's not everybody that will go through that kind of thing. Hallelujah. But you know, the beauty of going through all those things is that when you come out stronger. Except you don't know that where you're coming out was God. Hallelujah. Except you cannot relate with it that you're coming out was God. That's when you come out, you now start blaming God or start looking at what's the difference. People say that the book of Acts never ended, right? That's what they say. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they say. So let us take it from there. And if you look at it, it's the only one that they didn't put amen at the, well, for that. It's the only one that didn't put amen or something like that. And why? They say because we are the continuation of the Acts of the Apostles. Meaning that once I am saved, hallelujah, my whole life, yeah, if I write them down, everything that I've been going through, if I write it down, it becomes another portion of the Acts of Apostles. So for every one of us that is a Christian, we are adding to the book of Acts. Amen. Hallelujah. So when people begin to criticize and say, oh, there's no God, oh, blah, 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 we are the ones that they will point to and say there's truly a God. That's what Psalm 126 was saying. He wasn't saying that we are the ones that will say, Lord has done great things for us. He said, the nations, we say about them that the Lord has done great things for them. It's just like this in the case of Daniel that was put in the den of lions. Amen. Number one, Daniel would not have expected to end up in the den of lions. But he knew that there was punishment awaiting him. He didn't understand whatever was awaiting him. But he kept his focus on God. Okay? Now, when the king was going to check him in the morning. What did the king say? He said, as your God been able to deliver you. So knowing that, even the king understood that this situation that this guy is in, it has to be God that will deliver him. Amen. So we're out of place for Daniel himself not to know that God will deliver him. Hallelujah. And even if you look at their lifestyle, those four Hebrew children, they were not even concerned about God delivering them. They were like, look, if this will be the end, then so be it. We will know that this is the end. But I will do what is contrary to what God has asked us to do, because they have been working consistently with God, and we will not go that route. Amen. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, let me take it from verse 1. But actually, my emphasis is on verse 5. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Hallelujah. make known his deeds among his people. If you have not experienced his deed, what are you going to make known? Amen. If you cannot recollect, what are you going to make known among the people? Absolutely nothing. It means that you must have that allegiance to God and be able to tell people of his deeds. Your life must be able to tell people of his deeds. He says, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. He says, remember his marvelous works, which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Hallelujah. Remember his marvelous works, which he has done. Amen. And if you go further down to verse 42. Verse 42 says, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, he brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. So everything that he did, he took them from the land of Egypt. He took them, he took care of them in the wilderness. You know, he said in the wilderness, they were not weak in the wilderness. Their clothes and their shoes and their everything did not wither. He was growing with them. He took care of them. When they got to the Red Sea, he parted it, right? And they walked on dry ground. He says, all those things that he did is so that they may observe his statutes and keep his laws. Amen. They may observe his statutes and keep his laws. So if you cannot see God in everything around you, and not seeing in your environment, your physical environment, in your internal environment, you will not be able to relate, and it will be difficult for you to keep his laws. And it's those people that obey his commandments that he seemingly shows up for. Hallelujah. If it's God's commandment and you do it, he will show up for you. Amen. And don't say, this person is not going to church, and yet he has a lot of money than me. If you go and find out, that person is probably giving more than you are giving. And that principle of giving is not an exclusive for Christians. Hallelujah. It's just God's law. Okay? It's just like when he talks about the fact that as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Let me look for that scripture. I think it's Genesis. It says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Eh? And I won't go in somewhere. There's a time for you to sow your seed. Okay? So when you sow that seed, now I'm not talking about giving, okay? I'm just talking to you about sowing, okay? So if, for instance, you want to start a business, there's the right time for you to sow. Start that business. Hallelujah. He says, seed time and harvest. He did not say seed time and harvest time. Because he says seed time, that means there's a particular window. Huh? A particular window of time that you must do this thing. Okay? There's a particular window of time that you must do it. Have they found it? Yeah, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest. Now, what is the harvest? In this manner and in this case, the harvest is continual. There's a window to sow that seed, and that harvest, it will continually come. Amen. Because you have sown at the right time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's important that we don't just think that the things we do, they are our right, in quote, is given to us by his grace. And then what we just read now, Psalm 105 and the last verse, says it's so that he has done all these things for us, so that we can keep his statutes.
Amen. Psalm 66. From verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout to the God all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. It says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He says, how awesome are your works? That's in verse 3. And then he talks about the fact that come and see the works of God is awesome in his doing. So I often tell people that we are supposed to be replicating. Okay. Not even that. When we go to schools, and then they tell us in this school, and one child got this award. I say it's fine. How many children are in the school? Let's assume, maybe 400. How many children got an award? One. I say it's not good enough. Because you cannot be laying claim on somebody's skill. Abi? So, assuming that I'm in the school now, and I just go there, and I just love reading. And I read, and I read, and I read, and I read, and I read. Okay? So in one particular school, there was a particular boy. He was playing golf. You know golf? Pam, pam, pam. He was playing golf. And then he became a national champion. And then the school was celebrating him. And I'm like, how is it? How is it your effort that made him a national champion? The best thing you did was allow him to go for whatever he was going for. But they had no input in it. So I said, look, if you have everybody at your disposal, you should be talking about maybe 40 out of 400 having awards. That's what will make you. They will say, you are the one doing these things. You're actually cultivating it, right? If it's 1 out of 700, 1 out of 1,000, it gives me a problem. But you know, that's what God does not do with us. He says he's no respecter of persons. He will do for you and for me, the same thing under the same circumstance. Okay? As long as we have an adherence to his name and to his commandments, we obey. God will show up. He will do things. Everybody will not be a Jonah. Huh? Everybody will not be Moses. Everybody will not be David. Hallelujah. You know, David faced Goliath. David drew lion by the bear. Samson, he tied 300 foxes and tied them together, set their tail on fire, and they went into the... Not everybody will be that, but you have your own fox, you have your own bear, and you have your own Goliath. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. And for every situation, he's going to show up. If you can depend and count on everything that he has been doing. He's talking about his marvelous works. If you want to look at God's marvelous works, just sit down in your own life, in your own space, and begin to look at it. Don't say that I don't like where I am. Nobody likes, the truth of the matter is that nobody likes where he is. Hallelujah. Nobody. Even the people that we call billionaires, they don't like that level. That's why tomorrow you see them, they have gone into another sphere, doing another thing. And then it looks like they are amassing wealth. It's because they are not satisfied, or they are dissatisfied with that level of satisfaction. They need to go to the next level. Okay? And we ought also to be that much of dissatisfaction, okay, where we are, but relying and remembering the fact that we have a God that supports us. Amen.
Now, if David did not swing the sling, if David did not pick the stones, Goliath would not have fallen. Hallelujah. So there are two things we are talking about. The reliance on God and then your own action. The sons of Issachar, the Bible says they have understanding of times and season and what Israel ought to do. You know what that means? So they know that it's morning time. Right? So in the morning time, what are we supposed to do, God? And then they tell them, this is what Israel is supposed to do at this time. It's evening time. What are they supposed to be doing? They tell them what they're supposed to. It's not that they don't have an understanding of time and season, and they're not doing anything about it, and they just sit down. For everyone that you have mentioned, there was an action that he took God intervention to make it supernatural. Hallelujah. There was an intervention from God. Every mother understands the fact that how do you say it? They understand the labor pain. Right? Everyone. But once the child is born, they forget. That's why somebody can be knocking your head. I say you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. The person that gave birth to you is knocking your head. If you remember the labor pain, you should knock your head. His surgery is vibrating. No, it's true. And then they bring cane, and then they are teaching you, they are beating you. I said, my father used to tell my mother when she beats me. He said, don't forget that you are the one that carried him for 9 months. That's all he will tell her. Once he starts beating me like this, say, don't forget, it's not me. I did carry him for 9 months. You are the one that carried him, so that if he eventually enjoy him. It's going to be your problem. And then you see that you say, you know the way our mothers, they're very lovely. I love them. They'll tell you that this is the scar of where you came up from. So what's my movie scar now? They remind us. Why are they reminding you? So that you put yourself, you recalibrate your head and stay where they have put you. You know when they tell us, remember the son of whom you are. That's what it means. Some people say, who are we? You are who God has designed you to be. What God says about us, 1 Corinthians 2, like we read last week, he says we need to walk in the Spirit so that we can know the things that he has freely given to us. He has provided everything, made everything available for us. But if we don't know, we cannot enjoy them. Amen. So Psalm 66 verse 5 says, come and see the works of God. He's awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. You need to sit down. And this is the month of August, okay? And it's very important. At the beginning of the month, on the first day, we were praying. And I beg you all to always join. On the first day, we were praying. I think we had to go into Psalm 34. And verses 1 to 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The hand of God upon our lives. We cannot overemphasize the importance of that hand of God upon our life. You know, I told you once, I've told you severally, how I've been in several accidents. So there was this particular one, I'm not sure how many times I've told you, but this particular one, we're coming from Adwekiti, we're in Ilox, and we were faced by a trailer. It was, you know, it's not dual carriage, we were just faced by a trailer. And we were just happy, you know, young men happy. And the driver was on top speed. So in his mind, I don't know what happened to him. In his mind, he thought by the time he gets to where the trailer is, the trailer will have gone back to his lane and all that. And lo and behold, we were facing the trailer. And then, this is the way God works. And then he had to swerve. Now, at that point, at that time, there was this project that was going on around the country. So they had dug trenches around the country. I think they were laying fiber. One of these telecoms company was laying fiber. They had dug trenches around the country. And at the point where we were, when he swerved, it was inside that trench that he went. And that was the saving grace. And that was God. The guy went in, nosing, and then because otherwise, it would have just gone straight into the forest, and anything would have happened. And then we came out, we looked at the vehicle, we drove out, and the vehicle could still continue on its journey. I look at those events and I'm like, for everything that happens, God doesn't make a mistake. We are the ones that should be able to see. What we're reading this morning, he says that he causes all things to work together for our good. Abi? The thing that we like are the good things of life. He says he satisfies our mouth with good things. Hallelujah. Amen. But when things are happening, and it doesn't look like they are good, we don't like them. Amen. See, if Moses had drawn away from the burning bush, he wouldn't have had that encounter with God. If the first time he faced Pharaoh, and then they were doing show, throw snake, this one, snake, this one. If his staff had disappeared, he wouldn't have had a trust in God. So you remember that point where he threw his staff on the floor and then the other wise men threw it and then his own snake swallowed. If his snake had disappeared, he won't go back to God. And if he eventually went back to God, he would tell him that what happened? How come this was happening? And for you know what happened, that for everything that Moses was doing, those wise men in Egypt were also replicating it. Even when I think it was frogs. Is stupidity. Instead of them to perform miracles to remove the frogs, they too also added to it. I said, then we can do the same thing. You're supposed to counter what is happening, not add to it. Amen. But I'm saying that it's because we see God come through over and over and over again. That's why we're able to stand and say that there's a God that we should worship him. If you cannot recollect, if you cannot thank him, then there is no point praising him. Because on what basis will you be praising him? Now, when we sing praises, they are not just songs that tickle our fancy. And we have to be careful. They are not just songs that tickle our fancy. Because they are supposed to be ministration to God. So if you say in your praise, I will praise you from everlasting to everlasting, it's a declaration. And you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. People should understand things for the way they are. It's not a fad. You know, it's not a fad that everybody just say, okay, we are singing. I know that sometimes fads help some people. When you have a fad, somebody somewhere will see the light in that fad and move. But the ideal thing is that the words that we speak, they have to be deliberate when we offer these praises. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 4 says, that's Psalm 34. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to me and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. It says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Life is a warfare. So there's no point asking why. Who did I offend? By the virtue of the fact that you belong to God. Hallelujah. It's a warfare. When the dragon was kicked out of heaven, He said he was going to wage war to those that will hold on to the testimony of Christ. Hallelujah. So you don't have to be anybody's you don't have to be anybody's enemy by default. That's it. And that's why the Bible is saying the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. If there's nothing to deliver you from, then there's nothing that the angel is doing. But you need to be able to recollect these things, that I am not alone. God is with me. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, "All things, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." It says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." Hallelujah. Amen. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." What's the meaning of blessed? Can you try? See, Pastor Divine, that is. Yeah, one more person. You're empowered to make progress. Hallelujah. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So that in him, there's no stagnancy. There's no stagnancy. There's just progress all the way. That's what is in God. So I'm blessed. It's because you have been loaded to make progress. Amen. I don't know who needs to recall, and I don't know how many people need to recall, but this is supposed to be our default mode. That every day that we wake up, yesterday is gone. We are not living on the prayer of yesterday, but we are looking at the events of yesterday and preparing us for tomorrow. Hallelujah. But you know that time, with God, there's nothing like time. Hallelujah. In quotes, you know that today was yesterday's today. So if you were in yesterday and you're pointing to today, this today we are in was yesterday's today. And this today is going to be tomorrow's yesterday. Are you getting what I'm saying? So by the time we move into tomorrow, you say yesterday. But God doesn't deal with all this time relation. God has a plan and a progression. We are the ones that have put our life in time zones and time frames. Hallelujah. But this is God's plan for you. Fact that he has your back. He says the angel encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Not one of us is without help. Except we choose not to see the help. Even when Christ was here, he said, "I can call down the legions." What would Christ need the legions for? Because he needed help. So if you say, you don't need help, no problem. But the fact that he sent us a comforter, the fact that he said he will send us the one that will teach us, means that there will be times that we will need comforting, and there will be times that we will need to call to remembrance. Hallelujah. And so there wouldn't have been need to provide these things if there was no need for them. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me just read that one. Verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." He says, "These things also we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me read that again. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. Meaning that you and I are not natural. Amen. We are not the man that was created in the garden. We are not, because we have the Spirit of God. Amen. If you go to verse 13, please go to verse 13. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because the Holy Spirit is teaching, we are no longer ordinary. Hallelujah. Do you know that if, who is here now? Tomiloloa, if he goes to study medicine, and then he comes back in year four, and comes back amongst in our midst in year four, do you know that he's no longer an ordinary student of medicine? Huh? You know why? By the time he's in year two, they will give him dead bodies to be cutting. That's normal. Because he must know where the head is. This one, you go to the doctor, and the doctor says that this one, the thing he has gone through to learn those things, he had opened up bodies to be able to know these things. He's no longer that ordinary person that you see. He's no longer ordinary because he has knowledge has been added to him. The Holy Spirit teaches. Yeah? We are no longer ordinary because we have knowings or knowledge that is beyond what every other person understands. Amen. Any student of engineering, once he comes, the regular people that help us, the technicians, that help us with the generator and everything, to us, they are not ordinary. We look at them and say, wow, the guy just came and he fixed it. Why? Because you don't have that knowledge that he has. Hallelujah. And I was saying on Thursday that you have to understand what God is saying about you so that you can relate very well. So if God is saying you are not ordinary, some people will say, we think that they will be disappearing and reappearing. You will know things that when the time comes to apply those things, everybody around you looks out to you and say, without what you said, we wouldn't have had a solution. Beyond the ordinary is what extraordinary is. Say abnormal. Abnormal is that you are doing things above normal. That's all. Something that is above normal. When you say somebody is abnormal, you think you are abusing the person. Yeah. He's doing things above normal. Some people can be hyperactive, no problem. But normally you look at it and say, this behavior is above the normal threshold. We are above normal human beings. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of us have gone to school before? How many of us went to school at one time? Everybody. At one time or the other. Even if we went to school, if we went for informal education, we went to learn. But when you learn, when you are learning, it's not always easy. Abi, I've told you how I went to exam room and I was sleeping and I was sweating. Inside the exam room, I was sleeping, I was sweating, sleeping, sweating. At the end of the day, I just gave in. I said, instead of sleeping and sweating, let's go come and sleep. So I slept and then they woke me up and the rest is story. So even today, if I see somebody that is struggling, I don't castigate them because I've been there before. I don't. I say, okay, so what's the problem? Is it either you did not study or you did not understand what you studied or you thought you understood? I just, if anybody's, say you have F9 parallel, I don't castigate them. There's something wrong. Eh? Because the same person, you will take him to a trade, Abi, and then he becomes Lord and Master of that trade. So it's not that there's nothing up here. It's just that he's not able to align with what you are telling him. And nobody's helping them at that point in time. Amen. That's why people talk and say, it's not only school. It's your cognitive skill. Amen. He says that, but which the things, it's not what man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let's learn from the Holy Spirit. Then we go to verse 14. He says, but. So the Holy Spirit is teaching. Huh? He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Okay? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So if you are not walking with the Holy Spirit, you cannot receive the things that the Spirit is teaching you. If everybody believes in Jesus, then we have to believe in the Holy Spirit that he sent to us. He said, it is expedient, it is to advantage that I go. Hallelujah. Then if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. And when he comes, he will lead you, and then he will guide you and bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. And the things that I have taught you are to add knowledge. The things he's taught us is to add knowledge so that we will no longer be doing things as ordinary people. We will become extraordinary. Amen. So when we look at these things that God has done, the things that he has done for us as individuals, they are meant to point us back to him and say there is more. You know how when you ask for something and then you go back, you keep asking for something. You know, if somebody is a coach or benefactor, you go to him the first time, he gives you. The next time, who will you want to go to? The same person. You go. Then the next time you want to go to, you want to go to the same person. And then, what will make you go to the same person again and again? Because of the way he will receive you. So if you go the first time, and he does the second time, he tells you, oh God, don't be coming every time. You won't go back. Oh God doesn't deal with us like that. Rather, he wants us to continually come back. And says, count your blessings. Just begin to count them. Forget not all of his benefits. Because there are things much more where he has much more benefits that we have not even unraveled, we have not even seen, that we have not even touched, we have not tasted where those ones came from. Let's rise to our feet. Verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He says, but we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And because we have the mind of Christ, we know the things to do. We understand what to do per time. We have that knowledge. And that separation, it separates us from every other person. Let us give him grace and glory. Thank him for his word. Thank him, most importantly, that we are appreciative of the God that he is to us. And indeed, we understand who he is and the things that he's doing for us. And so in everything, in all things, we give thanks to him. We rejoice in him always. Without any iota of doubt in us. Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.